very concerned and very concerned about it all. And when we have that very big concern, we lose our self responsibilities. We lose. It's hard for me to explain it all right now because I just.
Well, we can disagree to disagree, I guess.
Well, I don't want to say we disagree or not. And time isn't linear. I don't even think time and space doesn't even exist, you know?
Okay, well, thank you, Hugh. It's been, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Looks like
we're all out of time.
Thanks a lot for your show.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. So, well, I don't know. It's hard to know. I don't see those things as being mutually exclusive. So I guess where it seems that when people like Maureen and Hugh, who I respect the view of, you know, the importance of taking personal responsibility and changing ourselves. I just think it's too individualistic. And I think the problem is in the nature of the culture that we live in that separates us as individuals and doesn't allow for the kind of strong groups that used to exist and still exist in different forms in terms of the indigenous nations that were living just fine and dandy here on this continent until European colonization happened and slavery happened and this whole monstrous system, imperial system, developed out of the vast resources of the expansionist U.S. empire, and that's what we're saddled with. And it ain't gonna shrink it, it's just thinking that way. But anyway, I've got to go now, so thank you, Ty, for operating the board. Thank you, everybody who called. This is Paul Rowland with Wednesday Talk Radio. Bye-bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m.
How can we stand by and do nothing while our military kills and destroys the lives the world over, while telling Americans that all this death and destruction protects them from terrorists, when nothing could be more false? Fortress on a Hill aims to change that. You can listen to us at 9 a.m. on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month right here on KBOO. And thanks.
It's really just the community we live in, and it makes it a better place. If you look at Hillsborough, the growth in Hillsborough has been tremendous, and I think if you look around Hillsborough, it's a great place to live, and it's a great place to live because of people giving back.
Welcome to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. We feature interviews with leaders in the community focusing on issues important to Washington County.
Welcome to Inside Washington County. I'm Rob Solomon. Today we're going to take a good look at the issue of philanthropy, especially in Washington County and Oregon. Our guests today are Mr. Todd Baker, who is chair of the Tuolity Healthcare Foundation. Mr. Baker, Todd, is also the CEO of Baker Rock Resources, a family-owned Oregon construction business. Baker Rock Resources has been in Oregon for over 60 years and emphasizes giving back to and reinvesting in local communities in its business model. Welcome, Todd. We also have with us Max Williams. Mr. Williams is the CEO and president of the Oregon Community Foundation, a statewide nonprofit organization dedicated to helping individuals and businesses with directing charitable contributions and creating charitable funds. Max assumed his role as OCF president and CEO in 2012. Welcome to Washington County resident Max Williams.
Thank you.
Moving right into the issue of philanthropy. What exactly does the term philanthropy mean when looking at it from the context of each of your organizations? Todd, what does philanthropy mean to Baker Rock?
I think for me it means, how I was raised, it means giving back to the community that's helped support our business over the years. Started when I was young, the story is, Hillsborough didn't have a swimming pool. My grandfather thought there should be a swimming pool, and so he offered to donate the services to dig the pool with the equipment he had in order, you know, for people to be able to swim. And so I remember that story from when I was young, and that's continued throughout my life. The area has helped support our business and helped make us successful, and it's so we need to give back to those communities.
Almost as though there's a mutuality to the relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. Max, what about in your organization? What does philanthropy mean in the context of a community foundation?
Well, I'd say Todd's example is a great one. We work with individuals, organizations, and donors all over the state, and almost to a person, to a family, they tell a story similar to the one that Todd just shared of a desire to give back to a community where they feel like they have received all sorts of benefits, whether it's benefits through the local education system or benefits through the businesses that they've ran and operated in that community. And it is this sense of community that I think drives people to give back. You know, philanthropy is the Greek word that really, means love of mankind. And so the giving back really comes in lots of ways. We work with individuals typically that are giving back with money. They're creating funds to support groups and organizations or communities that we steward at the Community Foundation. But we also work with people who give back through the, it's kind of the time, treasure, and talent, right? They're giving back by volunteering. They're contributing to the community by serving on a school board or being on the PTA or coaching a kid's soccer team. All of that in sort of our understanding and vision and view of what philanthropy is to a community is sort of summed up in that sense of giving back.
And not meaning to take away anything from the ways of volunteering and giving back other than money, but focusing on money for just a moment. How does the foundation raise its money?
Well, we are, as a community foundation, we're sort of different. We're a public foundation, and we're different than, for example, other organizations that sometimes you hear about or that we have here in Oregon that are private foundations. So, for example, if you know the Meyer Memorial Trust, that is an organization that was created by a gift that Fred Meyer left to the trust to be used. So it was Mr. Meyer's money. The community foundation is sometimes what I like to call small democratic philanthropy. We have thousands of funds from donors all over the state, and they create a fund at the Community Foundation because they know that we have the platform and the tools to be able to steward those resources, to invest them, and then to help them with their grant making or to support the organizations that they've committed to make. And so we don't fundraise necessarily in the sense that, we don't go out and run a campaign. We're not, asking people specifically for large sums of money. People typically work with the foundation when they've hit a point in their life, either they're doing their long-term estate planning or they have had some sort of a wealth event or they're selling their business, and their professional advisors, the people who are advising them, their lawyers, their accountants, their financial planners, are also advising them that now would be a good time to, think about what your long-term philanthropic goals are. And so we work with people sort of at that stage of the process. And we work with their professional advisors and individuals and families who are really willing to think sort of more longer term and strategic about their philanthropy.
Understood. So money's raised. How does giving by the Oregon Community Foundation differ from giving by other corporations or individuals?
So we have a very community-based process that we think about as we're doing typically from the foundation side what we call grant making, and there are a number of different grant programs at the Community Foundation. And the way that works is people apply, nonprofit 501c3 organizations apply to the Community Foundation for a grant. We have volunteer grant evaluators that help us do those reviews and then make recommendations to our volunteer grant committee that ultimately reviews those grants and then makes those recommendations to the OCF board of directors. So that's one way that we distribute funds out to the community. And these are all volunteer positions. And so we use a lot of community members. And we, because our name is the Oregon Community Foundation, we like to say community is our middle name, literally. and we use these community volunteers to help us actually decide which programs and opportunities the foundation is going to fund. And as you can imagine, even with the resources of the foundation, which over 45 years started at a $63,000 gift, to now the assets of the foundation are probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2.5 billion. that has happened through contributions by individuals and families over that period of time. And those funds then return to the community. And in that same period of time that our assets have increased, we've probably given back to the community about $1.6 billion in grants and scholarships that have been funded across the state.
Looking at philanthropy a little differently, we go back to Baker Rock. Todd, your building company, Baker Rock Resources, does make a point of giving back to local communities, and you do it, I believe, through fundraisers, community events, and other initiatives. Why do you and your company find it important to reinvest some of your profits for the public good? I understand giving back, but why for so much for the public good?
Because it's the community that I grew up in. I grew up in Hillsboro. I went to Glencoe High School. My grandparents moved here in the 40s, and they were part of the community and actively involved. And so when my grandmother sold her stock in the business, she chose to put her stock into a charitable lead annuity trust. And then it was managed by U.S. Bank, and the requirements were that it gave out a certain amount of money for the next 15 years. And so that really kind of kicked things off, and it really opened the doors to our being able to give. We had not done, Max talked about the grant process. Before that, we had normally, there would be a fundraiser, community action, or other organizations around the area that would host a fundraiser and we would contribute, or, you know, the senior night at the high schools. And then when my grandmother started her trust, there was a requirement, and we had to set up parameters of people applying for grants, and, you know, there were certain conditions, and then they were reviewed, and that money was given out. And so I think, and that lasted for about 13 years, and there were tremendous gains in the community. I think there were things that, you know, the parks department, the hospital, the police department, different things like that. And so from that, it kind of fell back to my father personally and my aunt, and they would personally give. And then 5 years ago is when we decided to start a donor fund, and which is managed through Hillsborough Community Foundation. And then Oregon Community Foundation, I think, manages the money. And we chose to keep it, go through the Hillsborough Community Foundation because my dad had been on the board and had a connection to it. And so I think it's really just the community we live in, and it makes it a better place. If you look at Hillsborough, the growth in Hillsborough has been tremendous. And I think if you look around Hillsborough, it's a great place to live, and it's a great place to live because of people giving back.
So for 13 years, your company decided pretty much on its own what fundraisers to support and
right.
which, say, not to support. Because even if you're just restricting to Hillsborough, let alone the whole county, there's so many good causes that you could easily justify supporting. Now that you're going through the Hillsborough Foundation, and along with a partnership with the Oregon Community Foundation, does your company have any input in where your funds that you donate go?
We do. We have a set of guidelines on things that we will support. So for instance, our donor fund won't support operational expenses or overhead expenses. We will support, you know, people that are building things, or we supported vouchers for students to visit the Washington County Historical Museum. So there's a set of guidelines, and the Hillsborough Community Foundation manages all that for us. And so they'll send out notices to different charities and organizations that are looking for funds, and then they apply. And then we internally review all of the applications and decide where the funds will go.
So we, meaning again, the company?
Yes.
And so the company does dictate, maybe that's not the fairest word, but does tell Hillsborough Foundation where you want it to go.
Yes.
And you're keeping everything that you donate in Hillsborough specifically, or do you have boundaries that go a little beyond?
We made an agreement with Hillsborough Community Foundation because Hillsborough Community Foundation primarily wants the funds to stay in Hillsborough. We have other operations in other counties, Clackamas County and Yamhill County, and we wanted to be able to have the option to fund projects there. And so our agreement with Hillsborough Community Foundation is the majority of the funds are going to stay in Hillsborough and the Washington County area, but we do have some ability to donate funds into other areas.
Understood. When you talked about, you know, the history and your father and your grandmother, et cetera, and you, Max, you talked about, you know, it's a typical story. I think it's a great story, and I'm glad to hear that it's typical. But to what extent do corporations, this is a question for both of you, corporations, small businesses, and even individual high earners have a broader responsibility, social responsibility, beyond profit margins?
Well, we think philanthropy is also good business, right? And it is an obligation. Where much is given, much is expected, right? And mm-hmm. I think we see that actually with the donors that we work with, be they individuals or corporations. And we work with a number of organizations, again, not unlike Baker Rock and Todd's family, where the organizations have set up funds at the Community Foundation. So. I can think of several Portland law firms that have funds at the Oregon Community Foundation, the Tillamook Creamery Association. We work with Nike's community fund and help them administer their grant program that's giving back to communities around the state in the areas where they have a deep interest, which is no surprise would be a lot around sport and play and young people. I mean, that's a real area of focus for them. And we have this flexibility, as Todd described, to really structure these funds in a way that allows the individual to really think about the things that they are interested in supporting. And so both across corporate organizations that are thinking about their philanthropy, but also individuals and families that have benefited over multi-generations of business development and growth in the state, what we often find is that they really do want to give back, and they want to do it in a meaningful way that connects with their values and the things that they feel strongly about. And so I think of it as this is sort of like almost each instrument in an orchestra. The orchestra isn't complete if there isn't, somebody, playing the viola or the bassoon, and philanthropy in many respects is that same way. We need people who love animals and are interested in animal welfare. So we've got strong operating animal shelters and programs that are addressing those issues, just like we need people who deeply care about music and are supporting community music organizations and, the local community symphony, and people who care about art and performance. The whole Pat Reeser Arts Center that's being built here in Washington County is a great example of community philanthropy at multiple levels. I mean, large, wealthy donors who have seen this as a real important need, down to people who are making $100 contributions because they know the power of connecting community through something like the Arts Center. And, you name the nonprofit, and there are a passel of people who are committed to that idea and committed to that mission. And collectively, all of this stuff that Todd has described and that we do all around the state is building what I call community social capital. Mm-hmm. It is strengthening the capital in a community. Todd's grandfather thinking about that the community could benefit from a swimming pool. Imagine the thousands of kids in Hillsboro who got the opportunity to take swimming lessons and participate in swim meets and have all those experiences because a handful of people said, that would be a real benefit to our community. And that's the kind of thing that philanthropy is doing all across the state. And it's in small amounts. No one has to be a billionaire or a millionaire to be a philanthropist, because the small individual contributions that people make to the, to the PTA or the spaghetti dinner to support, whatever the local charity is, that is also philanthropy, and it goes a long way to helping organizations turn those opportunities back around to strengthen this community social capital that makes us want to live in a place like Hillsboro or Beaverton or Tigard.
So I hear not only that it's good business, but that philanthropy and donations are taken with a sense of social responsibility and the fact that people have different different preferences to support is what helps us to support as many as we do.
Right. And I'm not very much into judging other people's choices, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some things that I would support that maybe other people wouldn't, just like there's some things other people support that I wouldn't. But collectively, it strengthens the community in a really meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. And Todd, from your perspective, is there some mandated social responsibility, or should there be?
Oh, I don't know if there should be. I think it makes you feel good too. And I think for me personally, that's where I've come probably over the last 10 years. You know, I've got to see my grandmother's trust, and then I got to see when it ran out of money and didn't have any money to give away anymore. And you know, 4 years went by, and that's when I went to my dad and I said, you know, we really ought to do something, because we did a lot of great things. And I remember my grandmother's trust bought a rescue boat for the Gaston Fire Department. And literally 2 days after it was delivered, they rescued and saved someone at Hague Lake. And it was on the news, and I was kind of stunned. And you don't even think about those things. And I don't need anybody to know that it was us that bought it, right? That's not it. But it's like someone's family really could have had a really bad day if that boat wouldn't have been there. And so I don't know if there should be a mandate. I think that when you are successful, or the schools did a great job educating your children, or you know, the YMCA did a great job teaching your children how to swim, or the business that you started and ran and built in the community that the community supported and the citizens supported, I think there is an obligation to give back.
But how do you figure out what that obligation is? I don't know of any guidelines for philanthropy. And if I'm running a successful organization and I make $300,000 a year in profit, no, this radio show doesn't do that. But if I were, in fact, to make $300,000 in profit, how do I figure out whether I get to, you know, have one heck of a vacation, or give 10% of that, 30% of that? I don't know of any guidelines. Are there? And if there aren't, how does a corporation or an individual figure that out?
Philanthropy is this lovely free will offering. It's a thing that someone doesn't have to do, mm-hmm. But they choose to do it because they want it to make a difference. And I think that changes the nature of the gift. You know, Todd's comment about it makes people feel better. I mean, there is incredible scientific evidence to suggest that people who are more generous with both their time and their resources have all sorts of additional benefits. They tend to live longer. Mm-hmm. They tend to be happier. They tend to actually have a greater number of friends. I mean, there is this great scientific, and they actually, interestingly enough, they tend to do better financially. You know, people give what they can. I'm always impressed, you know, the Gates Foundation and Warren Buffett, you know, they've had this giving pledge where they've got billionaires who are agreeing that they will give at least half of their wealth away, either before or at the time of their death. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you're a billionaire, that's a really interesting conversation to have. I think for most average Oregonians, I think the question is, you know, maybe it's just the couple of $100 we can afford to do again at the community spaghetti dinner to support something going on locally in the community. For others, it may be a much bigger commitment, and some have kids they've got to worry about and what's going to happen with their kids and their education or their grandchildren. Other people don't, and they're in a position to give everything away at the time they pass. And I think, again, we shouldn't be very judgmental about that. Every giver is an important part of the philanthropic community.
According to the Oregon Community Foundation's donation tracker, and this is from 2017, in 2016 and 2017, Oregonians on average donated a lesser percentage of their income, 2.25%, than the national average, which is 2.33%. Is this trend still the case?
You know, it's hard to know. You're pointing out some data. Part of what is challenging about giving data is that you collect that data from the tax return filings that people have made, and by the time it's available, you're typically lagging about 2 years. You know, we have both at various times in our history as a state exceeded the national average and sometimes dropped a little bit below the national average on overall giving. And I think it's sometimes dependent on sort of the financial circumstance that the state finds itself in. I also think that those numbers can sometimes be skewed. That's an average giving amount, so it takes all of the contributions that somebody's making. So in any given year, if Silicon Valley billionaire has decided to give a bunch of money away, that averages out differently in a state like California than it might be in Oregon, just like the year that Phil Knight a few years ago made that $500 million pledge to OHSU for the Knight Cancer Institute, and OHSU raised another $500,000 to match that $500 million to match that billion-dollar gift. You average that out in that particular year among all Oregonians, and it might have made us look like we were more generous collectively than we were. So those numbers can be really challenging. What I find is that, they're relatively, they might be off by a few percentage points here and there, but they're relatively uniform around the country. I have often thought what Oregon might be like if we could go from the 2.3 or 2.4% to a 3% average as a permanent average. If you run those numbers, that would be a lot more dollars going into philanthropy. And I just would like to say this as well, and kind of a follow-up to one of the comments that Todd made. You know, the dollars that philanthropy gives are different than almost any other kind of dollar. I sometimes call it the sort of the last example of social risk capital. From my own experience in government, what I know about government and government budgets is government can't take much risk with those resources. Philanthropy and the dollars that organizations like Todd's and mine give, this is money that sort of navigates that center point between the public, the private, and the nonprofit community. Mm-hmm. And because of the color of the money, it can do stuff that other money can't do. That's what makes it special. It's not by comparison to government funding, even very much if you think about it. I mean, last year in 2019, I think OCF somewhere in the neighborhood of about $135 million in total grants and scholarships, which is a big number for us, the biggest number we've probably ever given out.
Todd, from your perspective within the business community, do you think that Max seems to be saying that we fluctuate. Sometimes we're above or below the national average. From what you see from your business colleagues, do you think that we're pretty much with the rest of the country in the percentage of giving?
Yeah, I think so. I also think that Max is correct. Things do fluctuate. For us, a lot of times it was, how is the economy doing? You know, that was really a key indicator. Now, once you get a fund, though, I think then the goal is to get that fund as big as you can, so then it can start giving off returns, and ultimately that lasts in perpetuity. And that's the where we're at now. That's the goal for us. And part of it is that then you can do much more. You can do a variety of different things, and you're not as tied into what's happening with the economy. If we have a couple of down years with our business performance, you've still got that money sitting over there. Maybe the earnings aren't as good on it, but it's still able to give out a good amount of money. So, but I think we're probably average. I have friends around the country, and they're like-minded business owners, I think, and they support their community, and I think that they're doing similar things that we're doing here.
Starting with you, Todd, but I do want Max to weigh in on this. How are recent changes in the tax code, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, affecting charitable donations? I understand that they doubled the standard deduction, which obviously suggests that more people won't itemize. So how do you see that affecting what folks take in?
Well, personally, for me, it hasn't really affected anything. I mean, we've continued to give what we've given in the past. So I can't speak to anybody else But I know that was a fear of that happening.
Mm-hmm. So. Max, what have you seen, if anything?
Yeah, well, we've seen some really, as I said, most of this data lags a couple of years, and so it's hard to know. But there is some early preliminary data that is suggesting that it has actually had the impact of lowering charitable giving collectively across the country. You know, we work with a number of donors that are in sort of similar to Todd's situation where they're not directly affected by the doubling of the standard deduction. So, you know, that's not going to typically drive a decision about whether they're going to make a contribution or create a fund at the Oregon Community Foundation or contribute to that fund. Usually the events that lead to those kinds of moves are larger than what the standard deduction would have encompassed. So the concern, I think, about the standard deduction has been the more traditional nonprofit level kind of fundraising. You know, the people who show up at the gala that Todd talked about and decide whether they're going to make a $500 gift or a $300 gift or a $100 gift. And there, where they can't now, because of the doubling of the standard deduction, necessarily count that and get any benefit for the contribution, what we're expecting and what the early data would suggest is it's not that people aren't going to give. I don't think people gave for the deduction anyway. But I think the amount they give may be impacted by the deduction. And so it may lessen the amount of the gift, not necessarily whether they give at all. And we do think it will have an impact, and we hope that Congress will be a little more thoughtful about that, because we do think it's lowering the amount of total charitable dollars that are going to be ultimately contributed to nonprofits all around the country.
Well, I hope that something happens to keep things going. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Max Williams, thank you so much, Todd Baker. Thank you very, very much for joining us today and helping us understand that you just don't have to be a billionaire corporation or a billionaire to be a philanthropist.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to also thank our intern, Shauna Muckle. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. Go to our website, insidewashco.org, to contact us or leave comments on this interview. This series is produced by Rick Paulson.